Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Good tidings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second episode of this year's 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365.
Good tidings we bring to
you and your king.
Is it glad tidings? It might be glad tidings, actually.
We're happy either way.
Same sentiment.
Yeah,
good or glad, we're having
Christmas is not a time for judgment.
It's time for eggnog and parties and arguments about Brexit with your father.
And 12 Rambles of Christmas. Are you secretly a little bit worried that next Christmas, Brexit will be done and dusted?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, there'll be something else.
There'll be something else.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are we going to talk about this time, chaps? Well, we often hear commentators or pundits say when something naughty or nasty happens on the pitch or in football, oh, we don't like to see that. However, some of those moments provide the biggest talking points and downright entertainment in football. So today, we're focusing on the bust-up.
Saturday! Bit of Elton John there.
Lovely bit of Elton
John.
It's
all right for fighting.
Yeah.
It is all right for fighting.
Well, bust-ups, they happen on the pitch. They happen off the pitch between players and managers, even mascots for crying out loud.
Well, what's the most recent mascot one? I can't really think
of one. It was the Wolves-Bristol mascots having a scrap. And the Bristol City cat got fired because there was an off-field one as well.
Love yeah. that.
So this is the thing, isn't it, where people say, oh, yeah, we don't like to see that. And of course, you know, we don't like to see anybody get hurt, blah, 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 blah.
If you're wearing a mascot head, fine.
Yeah.
Now, Jim mentioned it yesterday. One thing defines what the Football Ramble is all about. We do love to see that. Yeah. Really, I mean, we're going all the way back to 2007 here. But, I mean, that's part of why we started this. Isn't it? So, I mean, of course we'd like to see it. And I think if everyone else is being honest, they like to see it as well. And
but they can't condone it, though, on television.
No, exactly. I'll extend that to commentators, co-commentators, pundits. They just can't say that.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I've sat in the same room as pundits, as we all have, and I've never seen one of them go, genuinely, I don't like to see that. They do like to see it. Everyone does.
I don't like ankles getting rolled, but that sometimes happens in football.
But you actually don't like to see that because you've got a bit of a phobia.
No, I don't like to see injuries.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right, wait, I'd rather see a fight than an injury. I'd rather see elbows getting thrown.
Would you rather see an injury or a fight that leads to an injury?
Oh. That's the point, actually, yeah.
But let's just row back and talk about the bust up. Because a bust up doesn't have to be physical.
Let's have one now.
It can be a war of words.
It can
a verbal
be.
Bust up.
I'm not as interested in those.
No.
Unless they're really genuinely witty. Like, for example.
Shut your noise, you.
No. No, that wasn't really a bust up because Pellegrini didn't care.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
So the best. Here's an example of a war of words which went on to something bigger. We've got to start, I think, with Wenger against Ferguson.
Good one.
And Arsenal against Man United. You know, between sort of what, 96 and 2004,
yeah.
United and Arsenal were the only two teams to win the league.
When Arsenal were good.
Rival. Yeah, it was a huge rival, but they are sort of good again now.
True.
At time of recording. But I'll kick it off with the two best quotes, I think, from the Wenger-Ferguson rivalry, which Wenger is, Ferguson doesn't interest me and doesn't matter to me at all. To which Ferguson responded with, he's a novice and should keep his opinions to Japanese football.
He's come from Japan.
Yeah, classic. Yeah. He's a novice. So I love that.
That's great.
So that's right off the bat as well, isn't it? That's a real...
But that led to essentially a bust up between the two clubs. Those matches... for a while was sort of England's version of El Clasico.
I mean, as having an emotional investment in that, I cannot tell you how frustrating it was to be beaten by Man United and how brilliant it was to win against them.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the bust up in the tunnel at Highbury between Roy Keane and Patrick everybody.
Vieira. Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? People often say that Vieira said something about Roy Keane abandoning his country at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, apparently Vieira like backed down after Keane squared up to him. But it's like, there's plenty of footage of Vieira like going in plenty hard on Vieira in matches. Yeah.
There's nothing to suggest.
If you're going to have a go at Gary Neville, why don't you have a go at me?
Yeah.
I think that's
stop bullying him.
All right, I will.
Yeah. And at the apex of this, it is in the context of this show, it's important to put into perspective.
Keane won that bust up. Like.
So Alex Ferguson's got an article written in 2009 in the Telegraph on his top 10 feuds just about him. Alex Ferguson is very well versed in the idea of a feud.
I'd like to get Alex Ferguson's take on Japanese football. Shinji Kagawa, for one.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of Shinji Kagawa, then? Yeah. All right, come on.
Is it a better or worse opinion than when you got in?
Yeah.
So, Ferguson's top 10 feuds, according to the Telegraph, Arsene Wenger, the BBC, Real Madrid, Kevin Keegan, Rafa Benitez, David Beckham, Gordon Strachan, Jog Manier, the Premier League, and Man City.
I love it
the
how...
Premier
the Premier League is a big one, yeah.
I love it how he's got some proper feuds with... He would take on anybody. Real Madrid, the Premier League.
Institution.
Why is Gordon Strachan
not having a glass of wine?
Why is he wasting his time with Gordon Strachan?
Because he talks about him a lot on his first autobiography. He said that I couldn't expose my back to Gordon Strachan. I wouldn't trust him an inch.
Ooh.
But on the Premier League, I mean, taking on the whole Premier League is quite funny. Yeah.
But he would invariably win against all these people.
I'm not saying what they do down there. But next year we'll be sending somebody to see how it happens. Talking about the Premier League fixture list, I can assure you, I don't understand how you can get the fixtures like that. They tell me it's not planned. Bloody hell.
True. Although I've never seen or heard of anybody throwing a piece of pizza at the Premier League.
No.
That was Cesc, wasn't it?
That was brilliant. Yes, that's Fabregas.
But that shows you the bust up between the clubs and how it heightened. Was so heightened between them.
It's completely emotionally led, isn't it? Which actually I think is something about Ferguson as well. These feuds are very indicative of why he was such a winner. He was a person who had to compete.
And Wenger at the time, I mean, Martin Keown celebrating above Ruud van Nistelrooy's head.
Oh, yeah.
In that penalty miss. You know, it was I mean, that's a great start to the bust up to the feuds and all the rest of it, you know.
It actually goes back further than that. Because in 1990, there was a big bust up between them. A huge brawl, something to do with Nigel Winterburn. And United were docked a point and Arsenal were docked 2 points.
Blimey.
So it goes back. I mean, it predates Wenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's strange, isn't it? Points deductions are such a rare thing.
And Ian Wright and Peter Schmeichel as well.
It was just full of them, wasn't there? But you've mentioned Roy Keane, and I'm going to mention Saipan.
Yes.
World Cup 2002. Well,
that's a great bust-up. This is a classic example of the genre.
And this bust-up between Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy, which sort of became between Roy Keane and the Irish national side.
Well, and Ireland, Roy Keane and Ireland, of Ireland.
No, but no, it wasn't between. It split the country.
Apart from Cork.
But it split the country. You know, you talk to any Irish person over a certain age who remember it around the time, and they said, like, you go round to your nans or something who's not really into football, and they're like, so whose side are you on, Keane?
That's a great bust up.
You know what I mean? Like, it really.
It transcended the whole sport.
Exactly. It was completely countrywide at the time. And
Saipan's just a strange place to do your training, I think.
Well, that's
what we're in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
That's what kick started.
I agree.
He said that he was fed up of the unprofessionalism of the Irish setup. He was injured. He needed to get fit for the World Cup. I don't think there was even a football pitch on the island or something stupid like that. It's like, why have we come
here? In the middle of Norway.
And he just exploded. I didn't rate you as a player. I don't rate you as a manager. Da 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 da. Stick it up your bollocks.
Love that.
The Mick
Stick
McCarthy.
It up your bollocks.
Yeah.
Does it jostle for space in between the bollocks?
I don't know. There's no point of insertion, is there?
No.
No. I'd have a go.
But
no.
Yeah, so big Mico McCarthy was like, best off you go home. I reckon Keane was already home. It was like the red card. You're already walking.
He was off
to the airport.
What do you look? Because I've got a classic one I want to bring in a minute. Uh-huh. What do you bring? What do you look for in a bust up when you're sort of trying to assess what's a good one and what
comes out of nowhere?
Mm. Yeah,
doesn't like shines really brightly, and everyone talks about it apart from the two parties. I think
they're talking because with the two examples that we've just spoken about there between Arsenal and Manchester United, that brewed for ages and was around for a long time, and was really between two clubs, figureheaded by two.
It's more of a rival
individuals. Yeah, exactly. But there were plenty of bust ups involved. Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy.
Yeah,
that's just a flash in the pan.
Dyer Boya. Just coming out of nowhere,
or Lasso Batty, it's a similar kind of idea.
The best part of the Dyer Boya one was soon they're sat in between them at a press conference making.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That is classic. Souness of all people.
You never catch me doing that. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
How can you do that with a straight face?
Souness, eh? Perched on top of the moral high ground, looking down in the valley.
Plunging a flag into it.
Plunging a flag into the middle of Dyer and Boya's temple. Creating a Dyer Boya Newcastle, you're not a human centipede.
Oh, it was
with
brilliant.
A flag.
It was one of those things where, you know, like, it's almost like the sport itself stops to watch.
Yeah,
like any other games going on. Like, what's happened?
You just don't expect. So one of the things we would agree, I think, in this room at least, and hopefully those listening at home, the most exciting things you can see is the very moment where a goalkeeper gets a red card and you look and realise there's no goalkeeper on the bench, right?
Yeah.
That is amazing. Or they've made all their subs, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't dare to hope that two players from the same team are going to have a fight.
Yeah.
Because that is the El Dorado of things you want to see when you watch your football. To the point where it's only happened probably two or three times in English football history.
No.
The other famous example would be David Batty and Graham Lasso, wasn't it? And that was in a Champions League game.
Yeah. It was.
In Spartak Moscow, I think.
It was quite far away from Blackburn, it was.
Yeah,
people
amazing.
Are just looking going, we're breaking up two of their... What are you... They're fighting amongst themselves. Fighting amongst themselves.
Do you know who the peacemaker was, Lasso v. Batty?
Tim Sherwood?
Yeah, tactics Ooh. Tim.
Oh,
yeah.
Tactics Tim. What I like about... I always like a player who's really mild-mannered usually, losing his fucking mind.
Graham Lasso.
Graham Lasso.
He was very punchy. Well, proved to be. Graham Lasso wasn't a mild
He's very mild-mannered off the field.
Off the field. Yeah, but that's it, on the field. No, Graham Lasso was very gobby on the field.
Yeah. Well, do you remember in the 2011 Supercopa de España, Marcelo went off with a two-footer. He got sent off. He's already walking. Mesut Ozil loses his fucking mind.
Does he? Really?
It is brilliant. There's fists flying
never
all over
knew
the
he
place.
Had it, in him.
It was fantastic. I've never seen him look so angry. He's actually got quite long hair. Mm. So it frames like his big, furious, boggle-eyed face.
He channels all his aggression into Fortnite these days.
Season 7, guys.
But on that, just quickly before we go for an ad break, you know, the player who you wouldn't think was aggressive, we forget that David Beckham was very spicy.
Very spicy.
Had his own bust up with Alex Ferguson, of course, when he got a boot off the head.
Got the Alice band out. Got the old Oliver, what's his name? Ollie.
Is Oliver K? Is
it? No, that's the Times guy, isn't it? It's Ollie.
Ollie Holt.
Ollie Holt from the Mirror. Get the old Alice band out, didn't he?
Yeah,
he got sent off. For dissent, did he? For Real Madrid as well?
Oh, he used to do
Yes,
that.
He did. Yeah. He did.
He used to do that thing that Wayne Rooney does. If he lost the ball, he would go charging after them and do a two-footer.
Also seen by Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steven Gerrard's a big fan of that.
All right, after the break, more bust-ups.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat,
rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
And I got there on Boxing Day, and unfortunately, the referee was on the pitch, and I went, all right, ref. And he said, to be honest, half the pitch is level and flat, the other half is rutted, and I've had to call it off, Barry. Broke my heart, I tell you.
Well, Barry Fry. No.
Barry Fry and Boxing Day.
You'll find him.
Together at last.
He was partial to a bust up as well.
I'd love a Boxing Day drink with Barry Fry. I mean, brilliant.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, he's so good.
I mean, you'd be there all day just listing off all the players he's tried to sign.
Yeah.
We mentioned sort of mild-mannered people who may not get involved in bust-ups and whatnot. Arsene Wenger's quite mild-mannered. And he's been in love. Jose Mourinho.
Stubborn, though.
There's a long-going bust-up with Jose Mourinho to the point of he once pushed him.
It's because Wenger is a voyeur.
Yeah.
But he's also... Him. Do you not remember it? Was it Stamford Bridge?
Yeah, but Pardew as well.
He hates losing, though, Wenger. And you see that. Pardew's another one that he had a bit of a bust-up with. The Mark Hughes handshake thing sort of began with Arsene Wenger. So he loves a bust-up.
I want to take us over to Netherlands. Because, I mean, you know, we know what the Dutch camp can be like. Yeah. And who doesn't like a Dutch bust-up at Christmas?
A Dutch bust-up. Right.
Louis van Gaal versus Johan Cruyff. This is the most Dutch thing ever.
Yeah. A Dutch oven.
That is a nadir.
You know about the fact they didn't like each other. Obviously, Johan Cruyff passed away now, sadly.
Yeah. We didn't like anybody.
Do you know the reason why van Gaal and Cruyff had a bust-up? It's amazing.
Remind me.
It is amazing. Louis van Gaal, along with the Koeman brothers...
Was this living in Algarve or something?
No, it's not to do with that. No, I know what you mean.
It's a separate thing, isn't it?
Okay.
Louis van Gaal and the Koeman brothers have been invited for dinner at the Cruyff family home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through the dinner, the phone rings, and it was for Louis van Gaal, right? Mm. And according to van Gaal in his 2009 autobiography, he said, it was my family ringing me to tell me that, sadly, my sister had died.
Blimey.
In the middle of the dinner. I rushed out immediately and then found out later that Johan Cruyff was angry because I didn't thank him for the meal.
Fucking hell. That is...
And Cruyff took it...
That is callous.
And Cruyff took it so seriously, right, that later on, Cruyff was a board member, I think, or some sort of decision maker at Ajax.
Mm. Okay? He was, yeah.
Yeah, and they wanted to give a job to Louis van Gaal. And this would have been before Louis van Gaal won the Champions League with Ajax in 1995. And Cruyff just didn't want him to get the job. He just didn't want him to have it. Even though the other four board members voted for van Gaal to have the job. Overwhelming majority. It was only Cruyff who dissented. Took him to court. Took the club he was the board member of to court. That's what happened. That's how much
Ajax.
He hated Louis van Gaal.
Yeah. That's a great. I mean,
isn't that incredible?
That's sort of Brian Clough, Don Revy stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don Revy never thanked him for you know, welcoming into, was it Derby County?
Yeah, something
like that. But his sister had just died.
I think he thought Don Revie was really arrogant.
Yeah, okay, there's a bit more to it.
Sometimes it's all it takes, though, isn't it? That first impression or some little slight or perceived slight. Like Teddy Sheringham and Andy Cole.
Oh, yeah.
That was just one being subbed off for the other. And then it was a weird atmosphere.
Sheringham not... not acknowledging him when he came off from
something
that
like that.
That went for like 4 or 5 years, didn't it? Yeah. But the Clough Revie one is a really interesting one because on YouTube there is footage of them appearing on something. You know, there was a lot more local TV back in like the 70s.
Yeah, they were on the TV show together.
There's two of them on a chat show with like a, I think it's a Yorkshire-based presenter.
It's in the film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it in the film as well?
Yeah, okay. Downton Abbey.
And at one point, it's great because they're keeping it together because they're being quite sort of, gentlemanly about it. But Clough keeps referring to Don Revie as Revie. Revie this, Revie that, when he sat next to him. Mm. And then when it's Revie's turn to speak, Don Revie says, Mr. Clough, and I won't call you Clough like you've called me Revie. And Brian Clough just goes, thank you.
But there's another,
that doesn't give a shit.
But there's another bit where he tries to say to Revie, he says, but you're not understand. I had to win it better than you. Yeah. He's going, and he says, but do you understand this? And eventually, it's the only time they probably agree for a brief moment where he goes, no, I get that. He goes, right, good lad.
Yeah, that's like really patronising.
Refers to Don Revie as good lad. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So as we say, the feud could be long, it can be very short, it can be just a head brush. And I'm talking Pardew, I'm talking David Mailer. That was odd. Just a manager. I mean, I don't think that should be classified as a headbutt because it was more of a head push or a head brush.
But a manager shouldn't be doing
that. Why on earth? I mean, do you want to see that?
Yeah.
All right, there
we
go.
But he shouldn't be doing it. I think I can hold both positions and justify it. One, that I love it, and two, but I passionately believe he shouldn't be doing it, which possibly is why I love it.
Well, no, but you're looking at your point of view and his point of view.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and speaking of that, by the way, I just remembered another on-field bust-up. In the early 90s...
I mean, there's so many.
But I'm talking about players in the same team, sorry. A la Dyer and Bowyer. 93, Merseyside Derby. I think McManaman might have had a swing at Bruce Grobbelaar.
Really? Brilliant.
I think they had a punch-up on the pitch then as well.
Blimey.
When Everton scored. So they are as rare as hen's teeth between... between teammates, but they do happen.
Yeah.
And invariably, Kevin King gets one in the eye.
First mention.
There it is.
The second mention after earlier. But when was the last?
Fiorentina a few years ago.
I know what you're going to say.
Delio Rossi, the manager, substitutes Adem Jacek after half an hour.
Lajic.
I think the Serbians actually say Jacek, though.
Depends what part of Serbia you're from.
I googled it. he ironically applauded his manager, Rossi, and 52 years old, jumps in the dugout, starts swinging at him.
Man.
There's just a great shot where he's got his arm fully pulled back, like he's about to fire off an arrow. And he's got his one hand around the player's neck. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Can you imagine the player on the pitch who's had to shuffle his position because a new player's come on, looking over going, Gaffer, where am I playing that? Oh, he's actually physically fighting.
Oh, it was like a flipping fox in a hen house. If you just looked over, like it was just,
is he windmilling?
All over the place.
Is he windmilling?
Yeah, he got fired soon after. So
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Why do you think we love it? Is it just because, it's
truth. It's humanity.
It's a primal thing
of
two people just going for it.
There's no greater spectacle, is there?
Yeah, and part of it as well is that from where we're sat, football is just a game, right? Uh-huh. And you can always remove yourself from it and think, people are passionate about it and they care about it and X, Y, and Z, but it is ultimately just a game. But that's not true for these people because it is their livelihood.
Exactly.
It is so much more important to them, however much we love it, however invested in it we are. And I think that's why we love it.
And I think there's also, you're right, Jim, and I think there's also sometimes when somebody is a bit above their station, you want them taken down a peg. Mm. And so you mentioned Alex Ferguson. I mean, how popular was John Joe Shelby, in certain parts of the country when he went mad at him and had a bit of a bust up?
That's your fucking fault. That's your fault.
You've got me sent off, your big red nose. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And he said, Shelby, when he was trying to become a bit more professional about his business, said, oh, yeah, I probably regret doing that. But he said, people were flipping high-fiving him around the town and all this kind of stuff. Because people were fed up with Ferguson just having his own say and being able to do what he wants. And so sometimes a bust-up is caused by people almost trying to fight the good fight. I mean, I know that's giving enormous benefit for the doubt.
I think
sometimes it's just heat of the moment with these things.
In some cases, and I think Ferguson v. Wenger would certainly be a case in point, successful people can need a nemesis, right? Something to spur them on. They will almost, even subconsciously, actively seek some sort of confrontation to spur them into the next
Absolutely.
Thing.
We, so,
Go on, no, go on.
Quite often a victory needs to be against someone rather than for something.
Is it Oscar Wilde? Is it, it's not enough for us to win, others must lose.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so it's probably something to do with that. Edmundo v. Romario.
Oh,
in 1998, well, apparently Edmundo replaced his injured teammate Romario in the Brazil squad. And later on, decorated his men's toilet in the bar that he owned with a picture of Edmundo sitting on a burst ball. In response.
So, imagine the person being the person hired to do that.
Yeah.
And how
I think he did it himself.
You're making me. It does look a lot like Edmundo. No, it's just a coincidence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But apparently Romario insisted it was just a harmless joke.
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. A favourite bus stop of mine is between Emmanuel Santos and the family of Cristiano Ronaldo. Santos is, of course, the guy who created that terrible literal bust of Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah.
Nice.
And also another one, so I'm similar to you, Pete. I really enjoy these mad ephemeral things that just happen sort of out of nowhere. And sometimes the circumstances, when you add them all together, make them seem absolutely crazy. And a favourite one we've spoken about many times on the show is between Tony Pulis and James Beattie. Now, they just lost 2-0 to Arsenal, and I'm so delighted it was Arsenal that made this happen. And Tony Pulis got them, made sure they were coming in for extra training, basically. But it was the night of the Christmas party for the Stoke players. James Beattie objected to that and got a headbutt in the shower, didn't he?
Naked.
From naked Tony Pulis.
Naked headbutt.
Why is Pulis having a shower with the team?
He's working hard.
Warm up.
Apparently Carlo Ancelotti showers with the team.
Oh, sure,
a bit of cohesion and
yeah,
all
that. Yeah, fair enough. But naked headbutt of Tony Pulis. Can you imagine
I've
harder
never been
thing?
Headbutt.
Jim, I think it's the only place where we could end. Quite frankly.
And the scariest thing about it is imagining Tony Pulis without a baseball cap on.
Yeah.
Well, let's assume he had one of
those old shirt.
Maybe he had it on.
Yeah.
Lit one on his penis.
Yeah. To be fair, if someone is only wearing a baseball cap, you'd still describe them as naked.
Yeah, you would, yeah. But what about a little tiny baseball cap on the end of his penis? Make my penis hard again on it.
There's probably a little bit of skin that juts out from his forehead.
Yeah.
So even with a baseball cap off, he's
It's a ridge. It's like a little ridge cave. Where
Oh my God.
Make my penis hard again, Mr. Pulis said. Yeah. Or may not have said. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of our 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. See you tomorrow.
Bus stops. Football Weekly?
Yeah, fuck them.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
It's because they became two podcasts.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.